Regrettably, Paris proved to be a city where half-hearted efforts simply wouldn't suffice. Bursting with talent and an insatiable hunger for constant innovation, everything had to be grander, fresher, and more magnificent all the time. I, too, sought to keep up with my music. The possibilities presented by Cossack's Le Concert des Amateurs were utterly captivating. On the appointed day, hordes of people flocked to witness the performance of new compositions. The crème de la crème of high society, Le Tout Paris, would gather at these events, and any composer who managed to leave a favourable impression would swiftly become the talk of the town. Naturally, I longed to be a part of it all. My music, too, deserved to be showcased there. It was my destiny, an irrefutable truth. In the meantime, I toiled diligently to carve out a career for myself. After all, one cannot support a family with two children solely through musical composition, and a few lessons provided to a talented young marquises. After all, one cannot support a family with two children solely through musical composition and a few lessons provided to talented young marquises. I needed an alternative. Then, in 1771, a stroke of redemption arrived. I was appointed as an ordinaire of the esteemed Académie de la Musique. Now, do forgive the somewhat pedestrian term, but it carried an extraordinary significance. It meant that I had become a permanent member of the Academy's orchestra, performing at the opera under the patronage of none other than the King himself. This salaried position bestowed a sense of financial security, alleviating numerous worries. I was required to attend a few evenings each week for performances and rehearsals, while the rest of the mornings and afternoons were mine to dedicate to music composition, providing lessons or cherished moments with my family. Moreover, it allowed me to concentrate on my impending triumph at Le Concert des Amateurs, where I had cultivated friendships. The ultimate breakthrough was imminent, or so I believed wholeheartedly. Alas, fate had other plans. On the ill-fated Sunday of 6th of October 1771, I succumbed to the fleeting nature of mortality within the bounds of Paris. In the bloom of my existence, a mere 30 years and 2 months adorned my earthly tenure. The precise malady that claimed my life remains shrouded in the veils of ambiguity, yet it was undoubtedly swift and unforeseen. Ironically, it was during this period of seeming vigour that I had just embarked upon the reprinting of 6 symphonies and had only recently assumed the mantle of an ordinaire in the esteemed ranks of the Academy. Such a turn of events leaves one pondering the enigma of my demise. Following my passing, a meticulous notary undertook the inventory of our dwelling, enumerating the various items of value that met his discerning gaze. Amongst these treasures were copper plates, used for the additions of my scores, literary volumes of note, a pair of violins alongside a cello, an ornamental sword bedecked with a resplendent silver handle, a pair of gold paternosters, and an opulent timepiece. The notary's account, based on the scrutiny of my furniture and attire, dispels any notion of destitution plaguing my family. Oh no, perish the thought. Let it be known that I had indeed thrived within the Parisian milieu. However, fortune dealt a cruel blow, as my light dimmed precariously at the precipice of fame. A succinct chronicle of my final years reveals a Parisian sojourn spanning half a decade, wherein I cultivated a network of youthful, influential aristocrats who harboured a sympathetic disposition towards my artistic endeavours, graciously funding my publications. Matrimonial bliss graced my life, as did the blessings of fatherhood with the arrival of 2 sons. 14 symphonies and 12 string quartets found their way into the annals of musical creation under my name, while the prestigious post of permanent cellist in France's Paramount Orchestra was bestowed upon me. Furthermore, one of my esteemed patrons, Yolande de Polignac, would soon foster an enduring friendship with none other than Queen Marie Antoinette herself. My dear comrade, Cossack, a connoisseur of musical novelty, eagerly sought fresh repertoires to dazzle audiences at his recitals. The stage was set for unprecedented opportunities. Alas, humbled in the zenith of my existence, I shall forever remain but a mere mortal, denied the lofty heights of international acclaim. Regrettably, destiny would not grant me the chance to unfold my creative potential fully. Contemplate, if you will, the melancholic notion of a world bereft of the resounding compositions of Bach, Beethoven, or even Mozart, had they met their untimely demise at the tender age of 30. The vast musical tapestry would forever be deprived of their incandescent contributions. Similarly, I, too, harboured within me a wealth of melodies awaiting their manifestation, had circumstances bestowed upon me the opportunity. Alas, as I have alluded before, it was not to be. Yet, even as a consolatory gesture, or perchance out of sympathy for my fateful plight, I beseech humankind to bestow upon me the rightful recognition within the annals of early French symphony. I stand resolute in my convictions, awaiting the world's eventual rediscovery of the musical opus crafted by the hands of the talented composer, Hébert Lemans de Bruges.